Before we open God's word, let's turn to him in prayer. Father in heaven, we gather in this thy house of worship in this afternoon, ready to look into thy holy and living word and to see what thou wouldst have for us. We pray, dear God, asking that thou would be with us, to comfort us, to guide us, to instruct us, dear Father, that we would draw closer unto thee and with thy help do thy will for our lives and serve thee more closely each and every day of our lives, for we need thee each and every hour. This we do pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For this afternoon hour's reading and meditation, I would desire with the Lord's help to turn to the book of James. The book of James, let's read together with the first chapter, chapter 1 of James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because of the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in all his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. May God bless the reading of his word, and let's bow before him. The book of James is a short book, only a few chapters long, but is very weighty, very simple to understand. I don't think any of us can read the book of James, any of the chapters, and be left not understanding what the will of God is. as written here. And there are many topics we could discuss this afternoon hour from not only the whole book of James, but from this chapter in particular. But with God's help, I'd like to focus on the topic of temptation this afternoon. And that's also how James opens his epistle here, where he says, "My brethren," in verse 2, "my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." I think I could speak for all of us when I say that that's probably not our natural feeling when we fall into temptation, when we have trials and we're tempted of the devil to do evil things. Our natural inclination is not to have a joy about us. But he continues in verse 3 by explaining why we are to have this joy when we are tempted. Because he says, "The trying of your faith worketh patience. And if we allow patience to have her perfect work, we will be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing." It's very similar to what we read together this morning in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Where it says in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. These things all go together. When we are in God, when we find ourselves in Christ, we gain experience, we gain patience, we gain hope. And it is then easier to overcome the temptations that will come us the next time they come. We grow in faith and trust in Him. Another reason to count it all joy when we are tempted is because there is a reward. There is a reward to us if we remain faithful to Him and we have victory. In verse 12 in James chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." There is this reward. There's a reward if we remain faithful to Him, but we also grow. Our life must be a continual process of growth, of maturation. We should never be content with the amount of faith that we have. We should always seek to grow and to grow in love for Him. And if we grow in love for Him, then His ways are not difficult for us to follow. We take joy in following His ways. So this temptation, we know, does not come from God Himself. In verse 13, we read that, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man." God tests us. He tests us to see, do we really love Him more than anything in this world? We know the example of where he tested Abraham to offer his only son, the son that he waited his whole life to get, the son that he loved so very much. God tested him and asked him to offer him as a sacrifice to God. God was trying him to see, does he really love the Lord more than anything in his life? And he saw that Abraham did. He had that love for the Father above anything else. Another example is the Israelite people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And the word that's used there is God used that to prove them or to test them. Do they really love Him? So God gives us trials in our lives to overcome, to see, do we love Him? But a temptation to do evil, to do wickedly, to disobey Him, that temptation will never come from Him. We know that it comes only from the devil himself. And temptations never go away. As long as we are on this earth, the temptations will keep coming. Before repentance, after repentance, the temptations will always continue. We read that from an example of the life of Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, where it speaks of the temptation of Jesus by the devil in the wilderness, it says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." So even Jesus himself was tempted, but the devil departed from him for a season, for a short amount of time, until the devil found the next opportunity to come tempt him. And not only did the devil tempt him, but he tempted him right after his baptism. Right after Jesus was baptized, he was tempted. He is the perfect example. He left a perfect example for us. So we should expect nothing differently. Nothing differently will happen in our lives. We will be tempted. That will go with us to the grave. And if we remain faithful to him, we will be with him forever, and there will be no temptations, no more sorrows. But as long as we are on this earth, we will have that. We will have to deal with that. In verse 14 of James 1, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The end result of sin must always be death. If we, at the end of our lives, if we go before the Father with everything that we have done in our lives, and we have nothing but sin to present him with, there's no salvation for us because of who God is. If God could accept us as sinners, if he could accept sin in his presence for all eternity, then he would not be God. So we know that the end of sin is always death. So we see that the difference here, the fruit that sin brings about is death. But early in the chapter, we read that the trying of our faith worketh patience. And when patience has her perfect work, it brings about hope. And we are perfect. We need nothing. So the difference of the fruit of following Jesus and the fruit of sin, following the devil, is a complete contrast. And that is, it explains here very well how we are tempted. Every temptation, when we boil it down, is simply to serve ourselves. Whether my struggle is with alcohol, perhaps I am stressed out from the week at work or the day at work, and I just want to make it all disappear. That is selfish. I'm serving self. I don't want to deal with my problems. If my problem is lust, I want to fulfill the desire of my flesh. Every temptation in some form is a temptation to serve ourselves and not God himself. And the end of these things must always, every single time, be death. But thanks be to God that there is a different way. There is a way of self-denial, a way of following him, where we do not have to have this death. And Jesus knows what we go through. He knows the struggle against the devil. He knows the struggle against temptation. In Hebrews chapter 4, the last two verses say, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And even a few chapters earlier in Hebrews chapter 2, the last verse says, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." He is able to comfort us because he knows what we go through. Just as we are tempted, so Jesus himself was tempted. That is not to say that every single temptation that we receive, that he himself received. The world changes and temptations perhaps change form somewhat. But what it is saying is just as we are tempted, he himself also is tempted. Jesus was tempted to eat bread, to make bread for himself. And we would think, what is the sin in eating bread? Well, the sin was to listen to the devil, to listen to what he was saying, and to serve himself. He was fasting for 40 days when he was tempted, and the devil tempted him to serve your flesh, make yourself feel good, eat bread. So eating bread in and of itself, of course, we know is not sin. But in the context of the chapter of his temptation, we recognize why it was sin, why it would have been sin for him. That temptation, we should never downplay the temptation of Jesus. He was put in man's weakest form, the weakest point, by himself in the wilderness, hungry, with the devil himself face to face. That was an extremely difficult temptation to overcome, but he did, to leave us the perfect example, to show us that succumbing to sin, serving yourself, not being victorious is not acceptable. It's not acceptable unto him. But it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." James chapter 4, if I can find it, says in verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." So we often like to quote this the second half of verse 7, which is very important. And it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yes, that is true. But the first part of the verse 7 goes with it as well. We first must submit ourselves to God. If we submit ourselves to God, he will give us the strength we need to be victorious. It is not only that we must resist the devil, but we must submit ourselves unto God first. For if we try to fight the battle against the devil by ourselves, we will lose. We who have been born again, we who have been washed in the blood of Jesus, we know how it is to be tempted and to fail. Now, we sometimes don't understand. We think we had the will, we had the desire to overcome the devil, and we failed. Why do we fail? Because we didn't submit ourselves unto him. We loved something more than him. We weren't willing to give ourselves and submit fully unto him. When we do so, when we fully submit unto him, he is there to help. He will provide us with the victory that we are in need of if we simply trust in him with our whole hearts. In chapter 1, again, of James, verse 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." This is what we need to be victorious. We need the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is none other than his Son, Jesus Christ. It says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it, and you will receive it. But we must, in verse 6, we must ask in faith, nothing wavering. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." That is who we are outside of Christ. We're simply but waves. Sometimes we feel invincible, and sometimes we feel very weak. But in Christ, he makes us strong. We must have a full trust and reliance on him that he can provide us with the victory. We know that any man who puts his hand to the plow to work for the Lord must never turn back. We must continue to strive to serve him better each and every day. Again, that maturation process that we must all go through. The book of Psalms, chapter 1, says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." This is a direct comparison we see to James chapter 1 that we have read, speaking of the boldness that we must have in Christ. We plant our roots. We are like a tree that has its roots planted by the rivers of water. We are unmovable in Christ. There is no more being tossed by the waves of this world, by the winds of this world that seek to uproot us. We are planted in him. It's like building our house on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Nothing that the world will throw at us will be able to move that house. But we know the story. If we build it upon the sand, then it will get destroyed when the temptations come. So we must come boldly into the throne of grace and ask for help in time of need, and he will always provide it for us. There's never a time when we will approach him and ask him for sincere help that he will not give it unto us. When we are tempted, drawn away of our own lusts, as we have read, if we simply trust in him, that the Lord Jesus can have the victory over that temptation, then we will be victorious. He gives us his righteousness, that we would be more like him each and every day. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Temptation has been since the world's beginning. Of course, we heard this morning of the story of Adam and Eve. Temptation has always been here, and it will always be here as long as this world exists. But God knows. He knows what we go through. And he will never allow us to be tempted by the devil to a point where we will not be victorious. Of course, we know the story of Job, how the devil tempted him to forsake God, curse God, and die, his wife even told him. But God did not allow him to be tempted above that which he was able to overcome. There is always a way of escape, but we must be willing to take that route. I believe it was last Sunday we heard of the influences in our lives. What influences are we allowing into our hearts? If we love the things of this world, if we love the movies of this world, the music that speak and show such ungodly actions, if we love those things, how can we expect to be victorious over temptation when the devil comes to us and tempts us to serve ourselves, to do that which would feel good to our flesh? How can we expect to be victorious? I also think it was, if not last Sunday, the week before, we heard about making peace with sin. When we make peace with sin, when we are okay with looking at the things we know that we should not be looking at, partaking of those things, there is no victory to be had in those things. It is not possible. God will see that we love the things of this world more than we love him, and there will be no victory for us. But as when we submit ourselves, again, as we read, when we submit ourselves to him, he will provide that help, that grace in time of need. There's never a time where we will be in need, truly, sincerely, asking for his help that he will not provide us with that help that we are in need of. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. But we must draw nigh unto him first. We must show him that we have that desire to say no to this world. If we are continually exposing ourselves to the things of this world and we love them, there will be no victory for us. Again, those of us who have been born again, we understand this. We understand this process. There are so many of you who are unconverted in this place, and we know what you're going through. You think to yourselves that I can never have the victory. I've tried. I've struggled. I've failed. Put your trust in him. Show him. Prove to him that you love him. You love his ways more than the ways of this world, and he will provide you with that grace to help in time of need. And that is what James is saying also here in chapter 1. When he speaks about, in the last few verses, he speaks about being not only a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the work. If we are a doer of the word and the will of God, then we shall be blessed. This man shall be blessed in his deed. It is not only enough to simply read his word and to listen to it and to let it fall away. We must love it. We must do it. We must do his will. And then we will be victorious when the devil presents us with those temptations. We have all been there before. We all know exactly what struggles those of you who are unconverted are going through. And the temptations, as we read in the example of Jesus after his baptism, the temptations do not stop. They continue to try to knock down that tree that is planted by the rivers of water. But we must love him above any of those things. We know that of ourselves, the things that we want to do for ourselves to please our flesh, then that cannot stand before God himself. May we come boldly, truly, unto this throne of grace daily and find the help that we need. God is there for us. He knows the things that we go through. He knows that we are weak. He never asks us to be anything more than we can be. By ourselves, we can have no chance with the devil, and he knows that. But there is a hope. And he knows that we are not perfect. Even after baptism, we are not perfect. We think worldly thoughts at times. We let our minds drift. We let the devil have his way with us. And he is more than happy to do that. He makes every temptation for us specifically for us. My temptation, my struggle may not be the same as yours. And the devil knows that. He knows exactly where to attack us. He knows exactly what thought to put in our minds that would get us to sin. And that's different for each and every one of us. He tailor makes his temptations for us specifically. But Jesus Christ, by himself, can give us the victory over any of those temptations, no matter who it is that is tempted, no matter what the temptation is, no matter when the time is that we are tempted. Jesus Christ can help us to be victorious. He will help us to be victorious over all those temptations if we simply trust in him. And as our prayer as a church for those of you who are unconverted, that you would turn your lives over into him. You would not trust yourself. Do not fight the battle yourself, but show him, prove to God that you love him, that you want to serve him, and he will give you the help you need each and every day. May God bless his word in our hearts. Amen.
One of the great deceptions of temptation is that satisfaction is just within reach, but just outside of what God permits. We were reminded that temptations and the need for patience and endurance will last throughout all of our lives. And that should serve to remind us that we have need. And the deception of the temptation will be that that need can be satisfied just outside of what God permits. But true contentment and the instruction of the Word of God that we've heard this day is teaching us something different. It's teaching us what David wrote in Psalm 23, that we would make this our psalm and desire. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In the battle and in the intensity of the desires that we have within our hearts, let us remember that the Lord has provided a way to be relieved, to be satisfied. And it's not found within us. It's found within him. This passage of scripture that we read concludes with another deception that is equally as dangerous as the trial and the temptations and those burning lusts. And it is the deceit that exists in our own heart when we think we're good enough. And all of those struggles subside and we feel like we've overcome. If our tongue does not reflect that truth, God knows. But if we are found in Jesus Christ and pursuing after him in a love and faith relationship with the living Jesus Christ, we'll love each and everything that we've heard and we'll desire it more and more. May God bless his word to our hearts, that we would continue to hunger and thirst for the word that he gives us. May God bless his word to our hearts. Amen.